Hey folks, welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Crowd Health. Listen up. I know from personal experience that the American healthcare system sucks. Health insurance in this country is terrible. More than half of Americans are on a high deductible health insurance plan, on the hook for thousands of dollars of deductibles, copays, and sky high premiums. Basically, they need health insurance, but just for the worst case scenarios, you know, the you're paralyzed in a car accident kind of thing, not like actual day-to-day health care. And that's what you want. It's like being stuck with an outdated cable TV plan and not knowing about Netflix. Now we are introducing Crowd Health. It isn't health care, it's a better way to pay medical expenses. Crowd Health is a community of people who are tired of paying for a broken system. It's a place where you can get a simple, flexible, and affordable way to pay for your health care. Being in the Crowd Health community can save hundreds of dollars monthly and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. It's flexible. Membership is a monthly subscription. You can start or stop when it's convenient for you. There's simple and transparent pricing, customized to fit your needs. They lower your monthly healthcare costs, and you can see any doctor you want. Using the app, you can find nearly any doctor in the country ranked from 1 star to 5 star. You can scan bills and then throw them away. Crowd Health takes it all from there, and you can press one button to receive virtual care anytime, anywhere through your smartphone. There's a community of health-conscious members who want to get and stay healthy in return for lower prices. So Crowd Health gets rid of the insurance middleman and passes the savings along to its members. 100% of your monthly membership pays for actual health care costs, helping the whole Crowd Health community stay healthy while keeping more money in your pocket. Crowd Health is able to offer amazing prices because of its community of health conscious members. But for a limited time, my listeners will get their first month free, and after you've been a member, Crowd Health will include a fitness wearable. That's 30 days to try risk-free plus the fitness wearable. Just joincrowdhealth.com/fit and enter code TIRE at sign up. That's joincrowdhealth.com/fit and use promo code TIRE. Crowd Health is not health insurance. It's a community powered alternative. Terms and conditions may apply. joincrowdhealth.com/fit. We are also brought to you by DraftKings. Listen, racing fans, DraftKings Sportsbook has a formula racing no-brainer that's bound to put you in victory lane. New customers can bet just $1 on this Sunday's Grand Prix in Austin, Texas, and win $100 in free bets if any driver finishes a lap. When was the last time you saw where all 20 drivers didn't loop the track at least once? It happens, but it's rare. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can get in on the action with DraftKings free-to-play pools. All customers get a free shot at $5,000 in total prizes. Just answer a handful of questions about what you think will happen during the race and follow along to track your results. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TIRE and bet just $1 on this Sunday's Formula One Grand Prix and win $100 in free bets if any driver finishes a lap. That's promo code TIRE for this no-brainer at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. Only new customers, only minimum $5 deposit for free bet promotion. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You got all that? Good. How about Babbel? Global economy, folks. When you're traveling to a destination and you don't know the language, it can be challenging to accomplish even the simplest of tasks. I have really been there. I've tried to like sign language my way through places. I've tried the old just speak English slower That's not a good method. That method doesn't work very well at all. I've tried getting drunk. That actually does work a little bit. You can pick up some booze-related conversation. At least you think you can, and then the next morning you're like, I don't know what I was even saying to that guy. Thankfully, there's Babbel, the number one selling language learning app. Through Babbel's bite-sized lessons, you can learn new language skills that you can actually use in the real world. From greetings, menus, and directions to gaining a deeper understanding of the culture, Babbel is a travel essential. I've always wanted to learn French so I can order the finest foods and wines. I've never seemed to find the time. But thanks to Babbel's easy and fast to use lessons, I am able to accomplish this goal, and I'll be drinking Bordeaux in no time. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and your accent. There's so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes in the language of your choice. Start your language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of three. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code TIRE. That's BABBEL.com code TIRE. BABBEL.com code TIRE. Babbel, language for life. Lastly, oh, this is an important one, folks. It's the Blackview DR750X 2-channel LTE. That's a lot of letters. It's almost a BMW crossover. That's how many letters it is there. Have you ever worried about your car when you leave it for valet parking, when you bring it to service, to a dealer? How about parked on the street? That's why you need the Blackview dash cam. This thing is awesome. It's a slick looking unit giving you peace of mind that your car, day or night, is always protected. The dual channel Blackview dash cam comes with both front and rear cameras. You can enjoy clear image quality day and night thanks to the full HD Sony Starvis image sensors at a wide 139 degree view angle. Blackview's newest LTE dash cam is really what you need if you're considering a cloud-connected dash cam. The newest addition of the Blackview lineup is connected by design with a built-in nano SIM card reader. The dash cam comes free with the Blackview app, which allows you to connect to your dash cam directly or over the cloud, get impact notifications, download videos to your mobile device, watch live view, and more. But that's not all. Blackview's new mobile hotspot function lets you turn your LTE dash cam into a Wi-Fi hotspot for up to 5 devices on the go. That's cool. I love that. Dual purpose, right? It's protecting your car, protecting you from what's going on inside your car if you got that kind of craziness, or if you've got kids, if you've got friends, if you've got a film crew you got to cruise around with. It turns the dash cam into a Wi-Fi hotspot for up to 5 devices. You can pair your cloud-connected dash cam with parking mode accessory for peace of mind when you're away from the car, and Blackview automatically switches to parking mode to monitor your parked vehicle. Thanks to the video buffer, the few seconds leading to a triggering event is also recorded. When paired with Blackview Cloud, parking mode lets your dash cam save event videos to the cloud in real time, just as they happen. So go to blackview.com, that's BLACKVUE, blackview.com/TST, and use promo code TIRE to get 10% off any Blackview dash cam, plus free shipping for orders over $200. And if you're buying a dash cam, pretty much all order is over $200. So free shipping, blackview.com/TST, and use promo code TIRE to get 10% off any Blackview dash cam. Free shipping on orders over $200. That is the ads. Those are the ads. All right, then. On this episode of the podcast, my pal Spike Ferriston is in studio. We are talking about the Harley Livewire that he has just been riding for a week, and I am riding next week. I use logic to get him to basically admit that the Tesla autopilot software is very dangerous and shouldn't be allowed on the streets, and he only likes it because it's fun and not because it's actually improving any type of safety whatsoever. We talk about the ups and downs of Plan Z-ing old cars. That means sharing old cars with your friends. And we answer some of your questions. It's Spike Ferriston, the host of Spike's Car Radio on the Smoking Tire Podcast. I don't want the machine, partially because of vanity and partially because of my travel. And like, you know, half the time I won't have it. So I think I'm going to get this like mouth guard thing.
Try anything to not get the machine, right? The machine is bad.
I know. The machine sucks.
Yeah, I kind of made a choice. I said to my doctor, I'll just die. I'd rather just die. I'm not going to put a machine on my face at night.
Well, you know, they do the sleep study test is at home now.
Yep.
They send you home and it's this thing you fucking strap to your head. And
yes.
And I slept like shit with the machine thing on. With a test on.
Really?
And I was like, if that's the solution, this is going to be a real fucking problem.
Oh, so they gave you the thing to feel better and it
No, they give you the test. So the test is a thing that like, it's a hose that goes in your nose and it straps to this piece of fucking hardware.
How do you sleep with that?
I don't know. Yeah. Apparently you're supposed to. And it measures your breathing. It's not like, let's see how you like it. It's the actual sleep study. I have the printout.
This is a good podcast.
Do you want to go through the printout? I have it in my office. We can read just how bad it is.
What do you like to sleep in? Are you
this guy?
Are you a nightgown? Huh? Are you a cap? What? Are you a side sleeper?
I put on a really long stocking cap when I go to bed. Yeah. No, but this fucking headgear, I couldn't sleep
with. That'd be rough.
It was a problem.
This is great. So are we podcasting yet?
Yeah, yeah.
We already started.
Yeah, we just started.
We'll chop that part off.
We just start.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good. It just like helps with the flow. Not be like, and welcome.
Welcome to Matt Farah's podcast.
Yeah.
This is a nice studio.
Isn't it such great?
A nice studio here.
You're welcome to come use it.
I'm very jealous.
When you
really?
Like to.
Don't say that.
You can come use it.
I will.
Without Zach here, like, I don't know how to use it, but we could certainly just plug the mics. No, like, well, yours is just audio, so you can literally... Nah.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't want to bring
We have a backup Zoom recorder that we use as a backup. We would just unplug that and plug yours in, and that's it.
I just bought a new Zoom Slider 8-channel
thing
that I'm so excited about, and new microphones.
Nice.
And then I called John up, and I said, but we need the... studio to put it in. Right now, it's just, I mean, as you know, lots of advantages to just carrying that thing around and doing a podcast whenever you want.
For sure.
And I'm totally
portability
spoiled,
is clutch.
Right? And that, but to come, to show up, do you have trouble getting guests to show up here?
No.
Mm-mm. No?
No. We don't.
No? You don't?
No.
But what about famous folks? That's hard.
I mean, no.
They don't show up. They, you know.
We don't try that hard.
Right.
But on the occasion that we've asked famous people, no, it has not been the problem. No, it hasn't.
Do you have
a remote setup?
So they can just call in.
We can do virtual. Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't like love doing that, but it's better than we did. You know, we had a couple weeks ago Donald Osborne from Newport.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
He's not starring in any movies. Don't. I love him, but
no, we've had movie stars in here.
Yeah.
We had Tom Segura in here.
Tom Segura.
I'm going.
He's great.
Tomorrow I'm going to Seattle with Tom Segura.
To do what?
To hang out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Why Seattle? I thought he moved to Texas.
Because he's doing a gig. He's got gigs.
He's on tour.
This is something that's very kind of him. I don't know at what it took to get to this level, and I don't know if he's doing it everywhere he goes. But he's like, yeah, I just you know, when you're on tour, you don't have like friends to hang out with. So
it's true.
I'm just gonna fly in some friends.
Yeah, and you hang out.
So me and Hannah are going up to Seattle tomorrow morning to hang out with Tom and see his show and go.
Do you know what he does?
Stand-up comedy?
No, I mean around the stand-up comedy.
Like what kind of social activities?
Yeah, what's his thing? Like on the weekend.
We're going to do some nice restaurants and we're going to hit up a couple like lounges or something and some cigars.
It's fun, yeah.
I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got a driver up there so we can get wasted and don't have to worry about nothing. That'd be cool.
I know.
Put us up in a nice hotel.
Yes.
It's very exciting, actually.
Are there going to be any other women up there, or is it just... Because I've done this before, but it's usually just the guys hanging out.
His wife, Christina P., might be there. I'm not really sure. I didn't ask. But it was come with your wife.
It was.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that won't be a surprise.
No.
Okay, good.
They bought our tickets, everything.
Really?
Yeah, they're flying us up there first class, everything.
Wow.
It's sweet.
That's going to be
fun. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great.
Where is he playing?
The Paramount Theater, 2,800 seats. Apparently sold
out.
Two
shows a night or just one?
He's doing two shows a night.
Wow.
So we're gonna go to the first one,
yeah,
and then hang out in the green room for the second. And then I think the next night we're kind of on our own during the shows. But
and who's opening?
I don't know.
That's always fun too.
Yeah,
that's great. That's gonna be
really
fun.
And I love
weekend.
Seattle. What a great place to spend a couple days.
Is he still? So what is he doing with cars? I know you've hooked him up with press cars before.
What is he doing
is he doing any more reviewing of cars?
I don't think so. I think he was just fucking around with them on Instagram.
But every once in a while, I still see him on Instagram doing a funny review, and I like him.
Yeah, I think he's continued to get some press
right?
cars. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I know.
He didn't lose those numbers.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. But he moved to Texas. He took the whole show down to Texas,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Why did he move? Let's bring him out.
Property taxes. Sorry, income taxes.
Income taxes.
No, I think he moved because last year... The scene at the store kind of, you know, the L.A. comedy scene sort of
went
a little downhill, and the Texas comedy scene, you know.
Right.
You know, and I don't necessarily blame him because he's on tour 60% of the time anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever. He did get a Cayman GT4, and he sent it to my pal Rick Demand to get the 4.5 liter
wow.
engine. Yeah, he just got his car back.
Is he shortening gearing too?
One word, dude. That's
he
all.
Just got it back?
He just got it back.
Does Rick shorten the gearing, too?
He does the gears. Yeah,
holy
the engine and the gears.
Shit.
Yeah. And I was like, you digging it? He's like, this is the best. I'm fucking blowing loads in my pants every time I drive this car.
That sounds like
that
him.
Sounds exactly like Tom. Perfect. So anyway.
This is good.
Yeah. So.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming down. It seems like I saw on Instagram that you're huge in a variety of completely random countries.
Yes.
The ratings are of your show in this smattering of European countries.
I can't believe I'm embarrassed that
and
you
India.
Even saw that.
And all huge right. in India.
I was looking at, what's his name, Hooniverse last
yeah.
weekend. What's his name?
Jeff Glucker.
Sorry, yeah. Jeff. Spacing because I haven't eaten yet. And Jeff he's got a new podcast, which I understand is very good. And he was posting his ratings on
yeah.
something called PodScore or something. And I was, you know, stuffing myself watching baseball games going, why don't I know where I stand in the podcast world? So I signed up for this thing on my phone. And I was looking at the last 30-day ratings. And I was like, oh, hey, look at this. We're number one, not in the U.S., though, but New Zealand, Lebanon, the UAE, Croatia, Slovenia.
Habibi, yes.
I knew Slovenia, Malta, India, Qatar, Qatar, Iceland, Costa Rica, Nicaragua.
That's Greece. A lot of countries. How many
but
downloads?
Norway, Italy. I have no idea.
How many actual downloads does it take to be number one in Malta?
Yes, exactly.
You
one.
Get 12 downloads and you are the king of Malta.
I knew we were doing well. I hear from a lot of these countries, like South Africa, I hear it from a lot of folks there. I'm sure they listen to you a lot too. In fact, I'm number two in South Africa.
A lot of people are talking.
Are we number one in South Africa?
I would guess you are. But I can track 5 podcasts.
Okay.
But I don't want to track you because it'll just depress me.
I don't want to track anybody.
You're going to beat me, and that's not what
bro,
this
is you're
about.
Beating me in Malta right now.
In Malta and listen, Sri Lanka, sir.
We're going to have to call somebody about how we recapture
but have you ever,
the Maltan market.
These podcast ratings aren't, I don't know, it's been my experience that on any given day, like I know you've sent me when we were like in the top 3,
yeah.
it was like
it
car
by the
guys,
day of
you,
the
and
week.
Then me.
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
and then
yeah.
suddenly we're not even in the top 100.
It's weird, right?
It's weird.
It's
so
it's by the day of the week, you know, on the days that our show drops, we
yeah.
go, we shoot up,
but,
and then 2 days later, we shoot back down.
But you
and
I have disappeared from the list entirely for weeks at a time.
That's so weird.
Yeah, which makes me think it's not real ratings. Right?
Well,
yeah. Well, there you go.
Oh,
so
there we go.
This said I was 4th.
Past Gas by Donut
this
Media.
This is chartable.
Yeah. So we're
it's
3.
Not, this is just
we're
the
number
first link
3 and
up.
4 as of right now.
So Donut Media
means.
and past guests, they're new. The people are suddenly discovering that podcast.
I guess.
Like my kids, they love Donut Media.
It's unfair that Car Talk is up there because they have a catalog longer than the Dead Sea Scrolls.
That's, that's the other thing is people listening to the catalog as a whole as opposed to
anything
else.
So that's why I don't, when I talk to advertisers, that's not
the metric
that I use.
Yeah.
Because that what we're looking at there is the sort of overall total catalog downloads.
Right.
And Car Talk has like 3,000 fucking episodes.
Yes, in a big fat library. And
right.
We're not
and so what I look at is the episodes, it's downloads like by, it's some different metric that's like downloads by episode or something, or the one that
goes,
it really is only for new content published that week.
That's devastatingly hard to crack that one. And Audio Boom does all of our hosting and they're in London and they were like, well, this is just for us, but it's not for where else it goes.
Yeah. I just can't look anymore. I just have to look at the...
I didn't post that because I was, there's a little bit of pride, of course, but it's funny. It's comedy to me.
I thought it was funny.
It's super funny to be really number one in these odd countries. And then,
I thought it was funny, and then I got enraged.
And then we're doing terribly in Denmark. Like, I'm solely focused on France and Denmark right now and how we can really come up. We're doing terribly there.
Do you think... Because they speak French. Do you think that might be why it is?
Slovenia? India? I mean...
They might have a high percentage of English speakers.
I'm only looking for the comedic possibilities in
India
of this.
Is really... Because that's a country with a huge population.
No, I know. As Johnny pointed out, billions of 1.5 billion people there,
what
right?
What is the number that it takes to be number one in India? I mean, I can't...
None of it makes sense. Why would you listen to Spike's Car Radio in India or Slovenia?
I don't know
what's driving that. Maybe the Instagram drives it and people see the pictures and then...
Could be.
Taste it. But like you're saying, like I don't know what the actual number is. Two guys listen to it there?
I think metrics are all bullshit. They're all a lie.
Yes.
Every one of them.
But it's good to have fun with it.
The pride in being number one in those countries.
Yeah. No, it's comedy. I was just driving over here, and I have Zuckerman's GT2 RS, the white one. And
comfort seat.
Sitting at a light, trying to get the directions right and doing some text, and some kid rolls the window down next to me. I can't see what he's in. He goes, we're racing, like this. There's two of them. The other kid's got his phone aimed at me.
Let me guess, BRZ. He was in a BRZ.
He was not. I said, what? He goes, we're racing, just to the light. Just race with me. And I go, I don't want to do that. It's rush hour. And he goes, come on. The kid's filming me, right? He's got the video going. I go, what are you driving? And I lean up and I can see it's a Tesla. And I go, that's the plaid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, yeah, how do you know?
Because
your eagerness to
you have half a steering wheel, sir.
No, the because he was trying to make that video. I was.
Right.
I almost fell prey to the... I go, I know you're going to beat me. You have a faster electric thing than I do. This
but
is
you
2018.
Never know. That could have ended in a different kind of video. Tesla
yes,
blows red light, and mows down three pedestrians.
It was really funny. That's what he's doing, though, in that car. I think that's all you can do in the Tesla Model Plaid is once you
hit
show
the party trick button.
Yeah, it's a party trick, right?
Yeah.
And once the party trick's over, then now you're doing what that guy's doing.
Now I
let
need,
me beat
I need
this
the
guy.
Lulls on social media.
Yeah, in the GT2 RS. But
my favorite activity as I walk around Venice is I can spot the plaids because they have a little bit of a new look.
Right.
You can see it looks a little tweak.
Mm-hmm.
Is I like watching as they make 90 degree right and left turns.
I asked
him
about that.
The guy.
Yeah, no, I know.
Someone reaching for a non-existent wheel.
Right.
Yeah, I like looking for that.
I gotta blow my nose.
Oh, yeah, and I'm the one who's fucking sick, huh?
No, I'm Irish. I'm laughing.
Is that a thing? Sniffle, the sniffle laugh?
Yeah.
Is a thing?
I think so.
Huh.
I don't know.
How about that? Maybe it's you.
But whenever I'm laughing. I was going to ask you about this because it's been on my mind a lot, Matt Farah, and you were right at the forefront of it as well.
Oh,
This electric wave of cars, right? And we were just talking about on the podcast. Don't you feel like we're at the beginning of this whole new thing? We have a couple of these cars. You have the Ford. I've got the Tesla Model Y. There's a Lucid's got a new one, and that now we're driving live wire electric motorcycles. Mm-hmm. That the whole world is changing, and the people who are saying, I'm not going to, it's just pointless to even fight this thing?
Well,
Do you know what I mean by that? That everything's going to be electric and you don't even have to make a decision. This thing's coming whether you like it or not.
Pretty soon you're not going to have a choice.
Yeah. Do you remember cell phones or are you too young for that? Do you remember when they invented that and I'm not going to be that guy?
No, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like we're at that same moment.
Have I ever told you about my dad and his first cell phone?
No.
When my dad's office first issued him a cell phone,
right.
This was probably 1994, maybe. It wasn't a big brick bag phone. It was the big Motorola, flip phone. Yes, it was. It was balsa. And he would turn it on, make a call,
right,
and then turn it back off and put it away. And it was always off unless he was called. And I'd go, Dad, you have this phone, and I can never reach you. And he'd go, my phone is for me to call you, not for you to call me.
Yeah, that's not how it
works. And that was the ballerish shit ever. And I wish I could go back to that.
They flipped the antenna up that and had to go open it up and get on there
And, I wanted, when I turned 16 and got a driver's license, my friends and I all had beepers.
Right.
We all had beepers.
Right.
And I wanted to get a phone, and my parents wouldn't let me get a phone because they were for drug dealers.
Yes, of course.
That was it. Yeah. It was just, in hindsight, that argument sounds very stupid, doesn't it?
But you were a drug dealer at that point.
Not till 2 years later, and I got my own phone.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, I didn't
But do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, that Lamborghini STO that I was in, I know you drove it too. It's an exceptional car.
It's fucking rowdy, isn't it?
It's great.
Yeah.
But it still felt like it was a few years old. Like, the news is, that's not what's happening in automotive right now.
Well, Lamborghini said for that car, it was Zach and I went to the press launch, that 2024, 100% hybrid lineup. For Lamborghini.
Right.
So it's happening soon with them. Hybrid, not full, full electric. But like, I also hear from people who don't live in Los Angeles.
Right.
That, and they may have a point, and when I travel outside of Los Angeles, I understand where they're coming from.
Right.
That our exposure to EVs is vastly overrepresenting the change in market shift compared to other places in the country.
I think that's the old story. I mean, you've heard so goes California, so goes the rest of the country. You've got the F-100, right? You got the pickup trucks, the Fords, you got the GMC. These are the things that work in those areas, right?
Yeah, well, when
there's
you
no
go to...
stop. It's see. I guess the point I'm trying to make is it doesn't really matter what any of us think. Like Zuckerman's like, I'm just old fashioned. I'm always going to drive. No, you're not.
Because you're not going to have a choice.
You're not going to have a choice. This thing's just happening, and I'm noticing it, right? I'm not even advocating for it. I'm just saying this. There's a bigger shift that we're at the very start of, and the whole world is going to look different in 5 years.
I don't know if it'll be five, but it'll be soon enough. Our experience is that the infrastructure needs to catch up to the cars.
Yep.
Taking a road trip in an EV still requires planning and is mildly annoying in some ways.
But you learn these new behaviors of just, like at least at the Tesla, you don't mind stopping for 20 minutes at a supercharger and answering some emails and watching some Netflix. It becomes a new thing. And then you don't mind it as much because you're not at gas stations. You're not stopping every week at a gas station. You charge up at the house. So it's...
If you're mostly around your home...
Right.
It's not a big deal, and in fact, it's luxurious.
Right.
If you're trying to be a little more spontaneous and go to a more remote place at an unusual time, all of a sudden, I'm on this planned trip, but let's go over there, 100 miles, it's a little more difficult. And I actually wanted to ask you, because you've been riding the Livewire.
I just got off it.
And I get it. I thought it was today, but I actually get it next week. The range isn't so much on that thing, right?
146, right?
That's what they say. Was that your experience, that's accurate?
The story of this bike, right? Harley-Davidson launched it first, and it was part of the Harley-Davidson lineup. And it was $32,000, and the Harley crowd thought that was expensive. The electric motorcycle crowd thought that was expensive. And the Sturgis COVID crowd said, electric bike, what? So it didn't make sense to them. And I thought this bike, the Livewire 1, was still part of that company. It's not. Livewire established its own beachhead and its own separate company and is now making only EVs, of which this is the first one, available only in three cities, LA, New York, and I think Chicago. I'm not sure, but they're resetting the company. They've lowered the price to $22,000.
But it's a subsidiary of Harley Davidson.
It is, but it's its own separate thing.
Yeah.
And they've kind of now marketed the bike as an urban getting around vehicle.
Which motorcycle. Is probably wise.
Which is, and here's why that works in my head, because I have a Sondors electric bike, and I already now will ride my bike around the west side of LA, and there are limitations to that, and I also like to go fast, and my electric bike doesn't do that. So for me, I went, oh, this is now, I get what this is. 146 is plenty of miles.
In an urban setting.
In an urban setting where you're not doing a long commute.
Right. Or if you're not and you're not going up to the Angeles Forest to ride to Newcomb's ranch and back. You know what I mean?
It's a pretty slow charge when you're doing it at the house. It's still an overnight charge.
Yeah.
I had it for a couple of weeks. I didn't ride it that much. It was just to Bill's and back a few times and then on a ton of errands. I absolutely loved it. And, you know, getting back to our electric vehicle conversation, like, what's exciting to me is this new acceleration, this new quickness that you have with these things. So the Livewire, when I took it out to Bill's on Sunday, I was just zipping.
Yeah.
You know, you get this instant quickness whenever you want it. And it's true of the electric vehicles, too. And that's a new thing that I want. So, like, with the Livewire and with electric cars, you know, the Model Y is kind of a who cares. But when you say, I've got a new Porsche that has aerodynamics and it's got a quickness like the Tesla Model Plaid, you have my attention all of a sudden. Like when there is a performance electric thing that handles.
Well, you've driven a Taycan Turbo S before, haven't you?
Yeah, that still feels heavy to me.
Well, it does feel heavy.
Yeah. When you can engineer, but they engineered the Porsche in it. Like it feels, it's the first electric car that feels like substantially like a performance car. When you can make that feel lighter and give it some aero and really make it go, like it has to compete with a Tesla Model Plaid. You can't make a performance car now that's not going to go that fast. Then I'm with you. But as long as, you know, Elon Musk is selling a car for $100,000 that goes 0 to 60 in 1.9, I don't care what the steering wheel is. That's the benchmark. Porsche now and Ferrari has to beat that or be better at it. And if they don't, they're just going to be an also-ran.
Well, I don't give a shit about 1.9 seconds to 60 anymore. Once we establish that being a dragster is what EVs are good at, I no longer care past a certain point
it's the quickness on the road. It's that when you dart past somebody on like
it is absolutely irresponsible to give most people a 1,000 horsepower car. It's incredibly irresponsible.
I'm not saying about the horsepower.
Well, that's what I'm talking
about.
But
it's the quickness.
But do you feel that the Taycan doesn't have that quickness? Like, say you're rolling at 20 in the Plaid or the Taycan. I know there's a little difference.
It does, but it's sedanish to me still.
Well, so is the Model S.
Yes.
So what are you saying?
So I want a GT3 RS-esque looking electric car
that
I can plug in that goes and I can take to the track.
Well, you'll have that soon enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited
about.
You'll
have that soon enough. Yeah.
Right.
Porsche came out with that Mission R concept.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there it
that
is.
That is a mid-engine, you know, 1,000 horsepower.
Yes, that's the future.
Car.
That's what I'm excited about, that thing.
I think that'll be cool. I think
there
that'll
it is.
Be,
Look at this thing.
Yeah. It looks cool. I agree. It looks cool.
I can plug that in my garage, and then I can get that out on the PCH.
I mean, probably.
Give me a break.
Probably,
that's what I want.
I mean, here's what
this
I find
is the
about
future.
Electric cars is you are more likely to use more throttle in an electric car because you don't – there's no mechanical sympathy required, right?
Yeah.
You're not – you don't need to do a downshift. You don't need to feel and hear the strain of an engine towards redline. It's just – smash, right? There's no such thing as beating the shit out of it anymore, right? It's just instant smash.
Right.
So I actually find that because you're more likely, and I'm projecting myself onto the other here, but I am more likely to use more throttle in an electric car than a gas car. Therefore, I don't actually need as much power.
Right.
Because my 350 or whatever, what's the Mach-E? 360 horsepower? I think it's 360 horsepower, whatever it is. I'm more likely to use all of those powers than I am to use all of the power in my 280 horsepower Ferrari, because I'm not always going flat and zinging it to redline and right. slamming shifts. I have mechanical sympathy. And so that's how you end up with the, quote, the zippiness, and you find yourself driving like a little bit more of an asshole because you're just more likely to use more throttle because it's less abusive feeling to the car and less offensive to those around you than making a bunch of noise and banging through a bunch of gears.
Yeah, but the only thing I would disagree with is the asshole part. You know, when you're on a motorcycle and you're sitting in front of everybody and you're able to just zip away from everybody when the light turns green, you have that ability now in these electric cars.
Sure.
It's great.
But you can make any move at any
time. Yeah, you just go just like that. It's Tron-y. Remember Tron? We all wanted the Tron bike.
Sure.
The Tron bike is here. It's a live wire.
Yeah, no, I get it. But like, for instance, like, my wife has two cars, a Ford Mach-E and a 1991 Mitsubishi Delica van that has 87 horsepower.
She qualifies.
And she's not into cars, right? But when I'm riding with her as a passenger, the way that she drives this van versus the way that she drives the Mach-E.
Yes.
Is two distinctly
I've
different
seen that.
Driving
My wife
styles.
Does this too, yes.
With the van, you have no choice.
Right.
You pick a lane.
Yep.
And pretty much the speed that the car in front of you is going is, there's a guy named John Muir, I think it was his name. Muir. Like Muir Woods. Muir? Is that pronounced M-U-I-R?
Sure, Muir.
Muir. He was also the father of the Volkswagen microbus. Right. He wrote the definitive manual on Volkswagen microbuses. Mm-hmm. That's like, if you want to own and maintain one yourself, you get this guy's book. And he was an old hippie, and he was the guy. And he said, famously, that the world would be full of much better drivers if everyone drove like they were the car's front bumper. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
And they'd leave a little more room. They'd be nicer about
it.
And so that's how you drive the Delica. Whereas Hannah, and to a degree myself, but I notice it in a non-car person, she's so much more aggressive.
Yeah.
So much more aggressive. Weaving, making every possible pass she can
make.
That's
fun.
Smashing the throttle.
Yeah.
And I wonder what will happen when
everybody's got
everybody's doing it.
Let me tell you what happens. They get challenged to a race on Olympic with cameras rolling.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
That's what I wonder, you know, as we get to a higher percentage of these cars.
Well, you know, because here's the other thing you do is you turn on your driver's aids in the Tesla, which I, in the beginning of this journey with this Model Y, which is not my car, it's my wife's, but I'm telling you, I steal it all the time. I prefer it now. You get these, you click on your driver's aids, where it's safe, where it's straight, and you get a break in the middle of your drive. And I'm really addicted to that now, too.
Well, I hope that those driver's aids continue to improve, because the videos we've seen right now indicate that that's a very dangerous system to be using on public roads.
No.
Yes.
No. It depends on the guy. Like, I can see how dangerous it is when I turn them on, and I can see where all the weaknesses are, but not everybody would be able to game that out. Like, you obviously have some in your car as well, right?
Yes, and I never, ever... I use radar cruise control all the time.
I turn mine on all the time.
I love radar cruise control.
If you drove the Tesla Model Y, after a day of driving, you go, okay, I know where all these weak spots are. So you definitely have to babysit it. And if you're not as good a driver and observant of vehicles, you will definitely have a lot of trouble.
Well, that's the problem, because they market these systems
but I don't want
as
it to go away.
Improving the safety of bad drivers, when the truth is you have to be a very good, very spatially aware, very conscious driver to be safe using them.
Here's what it is. You have to get to know the computer system. You get a very intimate understanding of how this computer, through the cameras, views all roads. And I know it right now. Like, when it takes over, it's like letting your kind of goofball grandma drive, going, okay, she's good in straight lines. She's good as long as there are no turns, but anything else, you know, you got to be careful if someone's coming in. I know all the weak points. Like, and there are lots of them. There are definitely lots of weak points. Do you want to know a couple of them? They're really sure. interesting. Like coming down one of the streets that I just come down to Sunset when I'm leaving my house, if there's just a small turn in the road and there's a parked car sitting there, it reads that as a stopped car frequently mm-hmm. and will just jam the brakes on, mm-hmm. right? Any, you know, one of the weirdest things it does, if you're just say you're cruising down Sunset to Pacific Coast Highway, every intersection, even if the light is green, it's going to start bonging and slowing you down, which is a reverse kind of issue, right?
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, because somebody behind you.
Right.
Right?
That's bad.
But it's telling you, hey, you're coming to an intersection at any moment, something might happen. But it's clearly green, so you have to manage it with throttle and override it. And then you'll override the slowdown with the throttle, and if you exceed the speed the car is programmed to do automatic turning, then you've got to take over that. But sometimes you don't. So,
this is why I don't think they should just give this to anybody. This sounds like the type of system that someone should be trained to use under a testing-based situation.
But you can't be trained to use this. You have to be observant enough to see where all the weaknesses are.
Well, but they have training protocols for people who work for Cruise and Waymo and those types and Argo. I read their safety manual. But when it gets, isn't it right there?
But when
you should take this home with you. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Take this home with you. This is the Argo AI's safety brief that they sent me and I read. And it's super, super interesting. And it shows the kind of stuff that the people who are testers for truly autonomous vehicles are required to do. It's very interesting.
Then you find yourself second guessing a lot. Like, so you'll click it. Say you click it on a straight road and you're in your city neighborhood, right? You go, God, I don't usually drive this close to the parked cars. Like, is my passenger side mirror going to hit that mirror? And then you go, well, maybe I'm hugging the center line too much. Maybe this computer knows more than I do.
Yeah.
So there.
I don't like any of that. I'd rather just drive the fucking car, man.
It's so much fun. But I have told Erica, my wife, I said, look, I don't want you clicking this damn thing on unless you're on a highway and there's not a lot of people on that highway and you're keeping an eye on anyone on the lane to the left of you or the right of you who
might
be cutting
in. I can appreciate you playing with this thing for entertainment value, but the way you've just described it makes it sound like the general population should not be allowed to have this technology because it's half-baked.
I don't want it to go away, so I'm going to say you're wrong, but you could be right after the podcast. Like, it's clearly...
I'm there on my motorcycle, all right, look, dude. You ride motorcycles. You want people around you using this shit?
Yeah, because here's why on a motorcycle. It drives, like, when I'm in that Tesla Model Y, I'm driving at the speed limit or even below, and I'm in the right lane, and I'm not the problem on the road. That's a different kind of driving, right?
Those aren't requirements.
Would I be surprised?
Other people could be doing this at 90 miles an hour in the left lane.
You can't do that, though. It has speed limits set. You can't. There's only a certain amount, which I think for me is only 5 miles over the speed limit. So let's say the speed limit in your neighborhood is 35. It will allow you to do this up to 40. And then after that, you've got to take over. The steering. But the speed control will stay engaged, but that would assume that you're going to be steering the car. It would not surprise me if this disappeared tomorrow.
Yeah.
It would not. Well, because I've had a couple of close calls. I'm like, oh, look, there's a gaping hole in this technology.
Well, NHTSA is investigating it pretty heavily.
It would not surprise me.
There could be a massive recall, and they could be forced to shut the system down.
Would not surprise me.
Yeah.
Do I want it to go? I do not. I really enjoy
you're
having...
You're entertained by it. Yeah.
Well, I really enjoy having something I shouldn't have.
And I do. And I believe you when you say that you understand the loopholes. I don't not believe you.
It's not that I understand it or I have any greater brain power than anybody else. I find it really interesting to go, this is clearly a beta program that is a work in progress, and how interesting that I'm actually getting to use it.
Yeah.
Because, boy.
By the word interesting is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Yes.
How interesting that you're getting to use it.
And then it has the full self-driving, right, that you can sign up for. You have to put the car in park.
Yeah.
You have to say, I would like to request this. You get an instant message on your little iPad that goes, you were in the queue.
Yeah.
And then you get this new safety rating. Have you seen the safety rating?
We talked about it. It's complete and utter horseshit. There's a million ways to game it.
Well, first of all, they haven't said if your safety rating is, well, here's the score you have to get full self-driving for us to give it to you yet.
There was also a story today that they allowed 55 right
well,
there.
Well, no, this doesn't account for the different people who drive this car.
Well, that's the problem, isn't
My
it?
My wife, I'm surprised she's as high as 55. She should be at a 25.
But there's a lot of ways to game it.
But with those stories, do they say after they gamed it, they got the full self-driving?
I don't necessarily know about that.
I haven't seen that yet.
There was a story today that someone who was an investor in Tesla did not have a very high score, and they gave them it anyway.
Yeah.
So, like anything else, this company is not transparent about what they do. That's a consistency with them, is their lack of transparency.
Well, I think they should give it to me. I really want to go full throttle here. I'm really ready. Because I ride motorcycles, because I like a little danger, I want this.
I think you're a good driver, and I think you've explained the holes in the system as you see it, and I believe you.
Yes.
But I don't think holes. This is a safe technology to just give to anybody.
Definitely not. I definitely don't think. When you have people who don't even know how to goddamn drive a regular car, that don't even know what the left-hand lane means, that's not where you dick around. You go to the right, it's a passing lane. Ugh. You don't give them something like this.
Yeah. Wait, when we'll talk next Sunday about, you should take that home and read it.
I think you'll find
it very interesting about the Argo AI and their approach to safety. It's a very interesting thing. And I really want to have Brian Selesky, the CEO of Argo, on the show. The logistics have not quite worked out.
The Waymo guys have been driving around.
You seen
LA.
Them? Yeah, in the I-Paces?
Yeah.
Yeah. My driving right by my house is on their loop.
Yeah.
And I've seen the Jaguar
I-Paces. What is that?
I-Paces.
That's a whole different system, right?
That's a truly autonomous system. That has a trained engineer babysitting it. And you can see it's got the LiDARs.
Yeah, yeah.
Spinning,
radar.
LiDAR and radar and cameras. And
no GPS, though.
And GPS.
And GPS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what Argo uses as well. The Argo cars are very similar to the Waymo cars. And when they talk about the redundancies of systems, and it's very, very interesting. But when you read about that and see how many redundancies these other companies are using compared to the Tesla's going, well, just cameras will be fine with us.
Yeah.
You go, what?
No.
Well, I don't really know about that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like how, very true. You know, in regular cars, we've got seat belts, crumple zones, airbags. And then
what happens when mud gets on the camera?
You see Jay Leno driving around on his Duesenberg chassis.
Yeah,
it's just a chassis with a box on it. That's the cameras.
It's bad. No, but it's super fun.
It's so funny. Technology is fun.
Yeah, but I now understand Tesla fanboys because I can acknowledge that Elon Musk is nuts and he says some horrible things and his car is dangerous and I love it. And I totally love the whole thing. It's a very complicated story. This whole thing is complicated. Yet if you like it, you tend to root for it to work.
Yeah.
Right?
What a time to be alive, right?
What a time!
Hopefully you remain alive
and are not run over by a Tesla.
We're perseverating. We're boring you. You're exactly right. What a time to be alive. That's a good segue.
Well, you know, I think it is...
It's great.
It is technology that clearly shows promise, but we have become, as a people, used to and appreciative of the we're allowed a beta. I mean, I could be a beta tester. It's like, well, you and the entire rest of the world in their cars are also beta testers.
Here's the other thing that goes wrong. So you get used to the help of the car
and
helping
you. Yeah.
And you get kind of addicted to it a little bit, and it's a different level of attention to the road. And then you get in, I get in my Defender, and I'm driving the same way, like, hey, almost running over school kids in the crosswalk, and go, oh, wait a minute, I have to drive this thing.
Yep. It actually makes people worse drivers. And people are, humans are very good at seeing and doing.
Yeah,
mostly.
We're good. I mean, humans can be distracted, but a human being in general is good at controlling a vehicle on a road or a track, right? Seeing and doing, hand-eye coordination.
Right.
Humans are really bad at babysitting.
Right.
And waiting and then reacting quickly. without being distracted in the meantime. If something is 99% good and 1% very dangerous, a human being is the fucking wrong thing to be babysitting.
Well, think about every like bank robbery movie where the security guard has his feet up, he's reading a book, and he doesn't notice the thing, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, shit, and then hits the button.
That's exactly right,
Zach. Totally. So what...
That's the challenge I like, though.
What Alex Roy... what Alex Royce talks about, and I completely agree with him, is that what if we flipped that?
Right.
And what if we had the technology doing the babysitting while we did the driving, and that technology is great at babysitting and we are good at doing the driving, and the technology was there to give us bumper bowling. The technology was there and we would have an uncrashable car.
Well, that's what we kind of have now with like lane keep assist and all
that.
We're
things. Working our way towards that,
right?
But it's not a party trick, is it?
But that stuff too. That stuff also is not infallible. Like,
it's not infallible. No, not at all.
Sometimes
I don't know
what
I was driving. It
might
have been the Defender the other day. But you know, you're in the city and you have to suddenly go around somebody, and you're not. If you're like us, you're not really afraid of that maneuver at a different level of speed. But the truck doesn't like it, and it jams the brakes on out of nowhere, and you end up having to turn stuff off because someone's going to rear end you.
Almost like, every press car I drive, I turn the lane keep assist off.
Yeah. The lane keep isn't as bad as the emergency braking, because some of it is very conservative and it will go
The Mach-E's emergency braking can be a real pain in
and
the dick.
And it scares the hell out of you when it suddenly just comes on for no reason.
Yeah.
I like a little alert, a little red light to just get my eyes up again, but that's about
it. The slam on the brakes.
Yeah, don't do
so
that.
Good.
Don't do that to me.
It's not so good.
No.
Anyway,
that's
electric cars. If we have any audience left. I've had a couple. We've talked about EVs the last couple of episodes.
Look,
people get fucking pissed when you talk about
EVs. It doesn't matter.
I don't give a shit. It's my show.
It's coming.
Whatever the fuck I want.
This is what that was the point of the conversation was. It doesn't matter. I don't feel differently than those people, but it's pointless to resist.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna buy a shop truck here for WCCS for errands and light towing.
Yeah.
You know, and people have suggested, well, we'll get a Rivian. And I'm like, where do I even buy a fucking Rivian? I don't even know where I would buy one.
Why would you buy a car
and
the first year it comes out after being developed for 9 years
obviously,
for a work thing?
Oh, obviously never.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Why would you
buy
a car? You can't buy a car these days. There's no cars.
You know what you can buy?
What?
Work trucks.
Really?
Work trucks are a totally not exempt from this market.
Really?
Yep. I've just
what
spent
is a
the
work,
last...
Describe a work truck. What does that mean?
A fairly base model... white Chevy Silverado or Dodge Ram in a lower spec available on the lot, ready to go. Come get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. I mean,
there's nothing else for
nothing
sale.
Nothing else. No.
Everything
else
has gone through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a crazy market right now.
But if
now
you want a commercial truck for a job that
I would
is
like
mainly
that
like a manual
what
labor.
What does that cost?
I'm looking at about $50,000.
That's
for
not bad.
For a truck with a few options and a motor strong enough to tow stuff.
Will you wrap it with the the logo?
I would logo on the door, maybe, but not. I don't think the wrap is necessary. No.
I used
keep
your guy,
classy
by the way, your paint chip guy.
He was oh, is he
fantastic?
Awesome?
Yeah.
Don't say his fucking name on the air.
Why?
Because you got to come here if you want to use him. But he's a genius, isn't he? On the SC?
Yeah.
Did he kill it?
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking great, this
guy.
Yeah,
he's an artist.
You should have seen what he did. Did I tell you about the carbon fiber?
No.
We had a client who got an amazing deal on a Pista, Ferrari Pista, because someone had backed it into a curbstone and cracked the fuck out of the bare carbon fiber diffuser.
Yes.
And he got a deep, deep discount for
really
that. And the homie came here and fixed the bare carbon
really
fiber. Yeah.
How did he do that?
By putting it back together and literally painting the individual weaves.
So he glued it and painted it.
Glued it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now he didn't like. He didn't. If you got your eyes 2 inches from it, you could tell that it wasn't quite perfect.
Yeah.
But just standing there looking at it, you'd never
but
know.
But that's what he is. That's
what
why
he
I
is
chose the word artist, because he's got that it's little brush. He's got the lights. He's like, do you need the paint coat? He goes, nope.
Nope.
He's just going to eye
it. I need
it
my eyes.
Yeah, it was really fun. And he goes, there were 2 other spaces that I did here and there. And now he's going to do, we have an 82 Targa where the Targa roll bar has got some stuff missing. It's totally going to be easy for him. It's just like Matt Black.
Yeah.
But he's great.
He's
it's
like
very
in the, you know,
satisfying.
The movie Blow, Al Mexico. He's Al Mexico. Yeah.
So he's like the good version of me with one of those magic markers, yeah. A Sharpie, right? You know how you Sharpie up stuff on a, yeah. on a Tuesday?
You know what you, you Sharpie the black yeah, yeah. wheel when yeah. you get to hit the curb a little bit?
Go he's go, he's like, let me do it. He's yeah. the Van Gogh of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only so, at West Side Collector Car Store.
Yeah,
folks.
There you go.
Got to do it.
And my
you know,
garage.
We just, I hope I'm not blowing up the spot. I don't think so. Just signed a deal at Westside with CollectingCars.com, who I know is a sponsor of your show.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
You know, they're opening shop in the States. They've, uh-huh. been, in, they've been in Europe, and they're opening shop in the States. I'm pretty sure their main office is in New York, right?
They have an office in L.A. now.
Oh, they have one in L.A.?
They have them around the world.
So they're partnering with a variety of facilities, including mm-hmm. WCCS.
Great.
So that if you want to sell your car on uh-huh. CollectingCars.com, you bring it here. We store it for a month. We detail it, photograph it, handle the listing, and then ship it out.
Wow.
So it's an all-inclusive fee.
That's amazing.
So that way people who are in L.A. who want to sell their car on CollectingCars.com can just drop
stuff.
It off right here. At WCCS and get her done.
This is one of those places that we yeah. go to when you ask, I want to buy a cool car, I want to collect, I send them here all the time. Wow, look at that. What is that?
They have some nice shit.
Porsche sign.
They got
Ooh.
Some nice, oh, they've been selling a bunch of dealership signs. That, there's a Lambo
that,
sign they got
that
too.
See that 72 Mercedes up yeah. there? That's all I
Is that 2CV
right
Chris Harris's? That crappy 2CV?
I doubt it. I don't think he'd sell
his. I don't think
his.
He would sell his, no. but that one looks
Click on the
just
72.
Crappy
I
enough.
Think his looks shittier than this, actually.
I don't know. That looks pretty shit. It might be Andrew Frankel's. He had one, too.
Look in
that
the
one dis- looks pretty shitty. His Chris's might be shittier, though. That one's pretty shit.
Look at that license plate. How fabulous
I
is
saw
that?
At the Audrain, I saw someone going five up in a 2CV. Five people in one of them.
How low is it riding?
It was fucking slammed ass. Yeah. That was so funny.
They're great.
That is a funny car.
You ever drive one of them?
No.
It's a farm tractor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really.
Doesn't
it's
look
really,
like it.
That one is. That one's a little, what we might call scruffy. Every panel is dented within an inch of its life.
I like that. We should get that for Bill, the Malibu kitchen.
Oh, my
this
God.
Would be good for his collection.
That would be a perfect Bill car, yeah, wouldn't yeah. it?
Supposed to drive magically. Like the I ride's bet, supposed to be so
I
nice.
I bet if we showed up with that, Bill would really like it.
Yeah. You could put fill it with burritos.
So what else is anything on the horizon for the Plan Z collection?
We have a GT3 Touring
mm-hmm.
coming up that I'm panicking about. I you know, as
Why
as,
are we
you
panicking?
As you get closer on these things, your audience knows, you know, you put in your order and then you go, I finally figured it out. And then about a month later, you're like,
you change
oh.
your mind.
You're like, shoot, did I pick the right this? Did I pick the right that? Did I do the right this and right that? And I'm kind of in the middle of that right now.
What are you questioning? The color?
Color. If you know, the Porsche doesn't have a lot of great colors for these cars. They have just a bunch of silvers and whites, and they've got shark blue,
mm-hmm.
which is a very big idea. I'm not sure I'm crazy about that. There's a green
I like
in there.
Shark. I like shark blue. That's what the color of the press cars.
Yeah.
It looks
I
pretty
like that
nice.
For a regular GT3.
On the Touring,
there's a green,
it could be
too.
Interesting. The green is good.
Yeah.
Green is good. Green tan.
Yeah.
Green tan is always a good, it's always a good color. Yeah, is Zach pulling up a green tan?
Yeah, Seinfeld said there's only one color spike that you guys have to get, and that's dolomite silver. And I said, all right, I don't care. And I was working on something else, and I built a dolomite silver
is
car.
Is it just, it's just
like
silver?
It's like a polar silver. Yeah. There's a little bit of blue in it.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Dolomite silver, $840.
But tap on that.
Oh, yeah. It's a whitey kind of silver.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
Python green, to me, looks like a 70s Conda green, a little darker.
Python green is good. I'm a fan of that.
What do you think of that?
I like Python green. I like Python green better than shark blue.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then what? Have you seen gentian blue at all?
Yes, the Touring press car was gentian blue.
It's the best color.
It is.
Gentian blue is very good.
Gentian blue.
But that's the dark blue on the right there.
But it's
yeah.
not that dark, is it? It's
no,
it's,
no,
more,
it's lighter in
it's,
person.
Well, it's dark compared to shark blue. But
you like
yeah.
that?
Gentian blue just, with tan interior would be fabulous.
That's what
I didn't like it
likes,
so
no.
much with the black interior. But I like the dolomite. I like gentian blue.
Yeah.
I like Python green. Yeah, I don't like that red. I don't like either of the reds. Lava orange, I don't mm-hmm. like at all.
It photographs well.
Guards red to me is boring.
Yeah,
it's too flat.
Yeah, I would go. I would go gentian or python or dolomite. Jerry's not wrong with the dolomite silver.
Here's his theory, and it's been historically a very good theory, and your audience can benefit from this. He's been doing it for a long time. Any new Porsche color, new that year, is worth getting for that car.
Sure.
And he's made that choice a lot.
The launch color, as it were.
Yeah, chalk was always a very good color to buy.
Goddamn, everyone's Macan is chalk now.
Yeah, now.
Every Macan, every Taycan.
Yeah,
I mean,
when it was new that first year,
yeah,
it was a killer.
Yeah,
and Dolomite, you know, is relatively new, and that was the theory behind it. But I don't know. This car is...
The key with the Touring is comfort seats.
Yep.
And I think PDK.
Exactly.
I hate to say it. As a manual transmission fan.
I'm
PDK.
There.
Yeah. The engine is not optimized for the manual.
Right. That's
the light
what we did.
Flywheel is not optimized for the manual anymore.
We did Dolomite silver with a graphite blue interior and black dash and steering wheel. Simple stuff.
That'll be very resale friendly when
PDK.
The Dot 2 comes out.
Someone already offered me money for it before it even was built.
They're probably
being delivered in March. They're like
125 over or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Huge money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it's if you have an allocation, you have the keys to the kingdom right now.
Yeah. I don't know. We're working. It's this is the pattern of entertainment and cars. We shift into this entertainment, which we're working on the movie right now. We're rewriting, and then it gets really busy, and you don't think of cars. But then you start to get so stressed in the entertainment world that the outlet is cars again,
uh-huh.
and then you come around.
Uh-huh.
So this car is supposed to be delivered right when we start production.
Oh, so
which
it'll
not
sit
good.
For a while, and I'll drive it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you can
probably sold before we even buy it.
Yeah. Well, then in that case, pick a resale-friendly color and...
You want something at the end of the work, like the reward that you're working for.
Right.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have I don't say what it is. I told you. I've purchased a vehicle. I've ordered it. It's going to be a couple months. And we've got a very busy fall, very busy. And I'm hoping that the car will arrive right around the time that we have a little leisure.
Wow.
My 40th birthday.
Wow.
Did you get the invite?
I've already accepted.
Great. My 40th birthday party is coming soon, and I hope this will be a gift to myself.
Yeah.
For working
It's in
hard.
November, right?
My birthday is December 1st, but the party is the middle to end of November. Yeah, yeah.
It's going
to
be fun.
Found a great venue.
Yeah.
Very excited.
No, it looked like fun.
It's a really cool venue. Yeah. And Hannah's doing all the legwork. So what?
Everyone will be drinking.
Vax checks, dude. Everyone's got to be vaxxed in this bitch.
Well, what was the story I told you right before we came here?
I know.
The lady in the movie theater.
Well,
vaccinated nurse.
Well, you can. I mean, I know you can still get it, but like, if everyone's vaccinated and checked,
we're doing okay here, right?
Yeah, we're doing okay.
There's a chance there won't be a mask mandate by the time we get to your birthday party. Small chance.
Yeah,
numbers are down.
They are already doing vax checks at the door at this venue.
I know.
To check it out. Yeah,
that's great.
The bouncers don't seem too happy about having to do it, but they're doing it.
Well, because they probably have to have the discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
They always go.
Being a bouncer is horrible.
They go, it's awkward.
There.
Yeah.
That's my favorite comment. It's so awkward. I go, so's dying in the hospital bed. It's very awkward.
Yeah. Saying goodbye to your loved ones on an iPad is awkward,
it's
too.
It's also awkward.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions from people today.
Let's go.
We can get to some of them.
Someone actually asked, as a segue, about Plan Z and how...
Yes.
How it came to be, if you don't mind telling that story.
Plan Z was Zuckerman's idea. You know, let's go in and half. And I think he was at his law firm, because it's all these insane personal injury lawyers in a building in Beverly Hills. I think he'd been partnering with different ones and felt very comfortable with that situation. And for years, he was suggesting, why don't we go in on cars together? And I didn't really want to do that. I like Zuckerman, but I just didn't understand.
You have to really trust the other person.
And I did trust him at that point. I just thought I've never experienced a shared car before, and it's a leap of faith. And then, God, I don't know what car came along.
Was the goal from the outset to buy cars together, enjoy them, and sell them for profit? Or was it just to like own them together because then you can own something you're interested in for 50%?
We both had lots of cars. And I think the first car we did it with was a new car. And he was like, I got this thing. I'm hardly going to use it. Do you want to? Here's the payment. You want half of it? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. Why not? Right? It just seemed like a fun thing to do. It was a... God, I wish I knew which car it was.
Because if you got so many cars, you can't use them all.
Right.
And someone else has a similar problem.
Right. And then
and
sometimes
both responsible
stuff,
and rich.
And the other time is sometimes stuff's really expensive and you want to half it. Like, yeah. He's talking about a Gullwing right now, and that's like $1 million. He's like, you want to go half it? I'm like, not really. How many guys can we get in on this?
Yeah.
So, you know, it became like this, since he and I are kind of the same with cars, we're very fastidious, and the rules were pretty simple. We just laid them out, and a lot of stuff gets run through his company. Like, he, you know,
what are the rules?
There are none. Essentially, if a car breaks or you mess it up, it's your problem. If, you know, and that's, you know, that's it. Some cars are stored in my hangar, some are stored in his. We're not really overheated about it evening out so much. It just doesn't. We don't quite care, but that's a different kind of thing, you know.
You have to. There are a few conditions need to be met. You need to be.
We have
very
no conditions.
Financially secure. No, I'm talking about the general population.
Yeah.
If you're talking about sharing a car or an asset with somebody,
the only thing that we do is we email each other pertinent information. So there's a paper trail in the event of I get shot in the head on the drive home in my Tesla Plaid drag race, or I crash and I die, just so there's some sort of record that, hey, I gave, that Zuckerman owns half of this car, uh-huh. and the other way and vice versa.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. And we both, you know, we both have accountants that talk to each other, and we send money back and forth. If someone's feeling like, hey, you got to pay half of this.
I told you the story about my dad and his brother and why my dad told me I should never share some stuff with somebody.
Yeah.
He got a boat with his brother in the late 70s together, a water ski boat.
Yeah.
Go on the Hudson River. And his brother crashed in the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah.
That was the end of that.
My brother and I shared a car, a 71 Ford Torino 500, and he crashed it into a telephone pole.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that, and he never paid me back for that. But Zuckerman and I are pretty laid back about stuff, and not, you know, every time I would call him or he'd call me and go, hey, you gonna use the car? I go, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Take it as long as you want.
You have to trust the other person's not going to fuck it up.
Yeah, or if they do, they'll sort it out, right?
Yeah.
So just recently, we bought this 83 911 SC from Seinfeld, right? And
the blue one?
No, that's the 82. This is an 83. It's a platinum.
Oh, okay.
Metallic. It's great. It's got no miles on it. Beautiful car. But it's new to us. And I popped it out of out of Zuckerman's hangar. I go, hey, I'm going to drive that thing. Are you using it this weekend? He's like, no. So I take it out of the hangar. Six things went wrong with it as I pulled out of his hangar, right?
Yeah.
And I just went, oh, my God. It was like a game of hot potato, right?
Yeah.
Hot potato. You got the potato. Now it's your problem.
Oh, wow.
That was 3 weeks of work. Of getting this fixed, then that, and then I noticed this, and then that went, and then there was a ding, then there was your guy, and I was like, where did this chip come from? Not my problem, hangs the phone up. It was really, you know, and so you just do it.
Yeah.
You pay for it all, you do it, you get it running, you enjoy it, you put it back in. If something goes wrong with him, he's going to fix it. You have to be very, very laid back. You also have to be ready for one person needs money. One person gets divorced. One person just wants to get rid of it. You have to go, okay, either buy them out.
Buy them out
or
let them
sell
it. Or sell it and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we, as you know, love to buy and sell cars and it's fun. And
I think you and him are the right pair to be doing that.
Yeah.
There's other people where it's not such a good idea. And if you can't afford to hold the hot potato,
yeah.
You know, you don't want to get in on something like that.
Yeah.
You're going to end up
a lawyer is a very useful guy to be partnered with sometimes. If they're your friend. If they're not your friend, forget it. Stay away from lawyers.
Yeah. Oh, is that it? That's
the one? Yeah. There's the car.
That's a pretty car.
Yeah. You can't see the...
Can't see all the things that are wrong with it.
Not now. It's sorted. I sorted that thing.
Nice.
It's really a perfect, perfect thing.
Nice. Yeah. Dude whose name I fucking mispronounced.
Ah, but his second post, he explains it.
It's pronounced like Sean. Oh, Prashan. Oh, I got it. Okay, no problem. Got it. Okay. He's not being pedantic. Last time I asked him for a correction because I got it wrong. Okay, Prashan. Can you literally write that down on a post-it? Because that dude asks a question every fucking show. And I'm going to fuck it up again next week because I don't have a memory left. Prashan. Got it. Spike.
Phonetically spell it out.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Spike, if you had to plan your plans of your Porsche collection, I don't think that's the right term, but if you had to get rid of your Porsche collection and replace it with an equal number of cars from a different brand, what brand would it be?
Of one brand? That's too hard. I would not.
Well, first off, you don't own all cars from one brand, as right
no,
now,
no. I like lots of different things, but here's what I've got my eye on. I love old Land Rovers. I'm getting really obsessed with old Land Rovers. I'm getting really obsessed with early '60s Volkswagen Bugs.
Oh, that's perfect. Is it time for Jerry to dump all 19 of his and you just pick them all up?
Well, I have. He gave me that '79 Volkswagen Police Beetle, which is a Mexican Police Beetle, right?
Well, I drove that one a little bit, yeah. And it was by far the best Beetle I've ever driven, a lot.
But when you get into, so I have, that's the late '70s, right? Mm-hmm. But Mexican Beetle, right? So when I, we were out at his hangar 2 weeks ago, and I drove this '62 all original, beautiful turquoise colored thing. That felt so much more sturdy and
solid.
Wait,
you solid. An actual thing? Not a
no.
Not a Volkswagen thing. Not
no,
a
Volkswagen Beetle.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
It just felt like a different thing altogether. Uh-huh. Not to use the word again. Yeah. I just went, what the hell? It was such a big difference in
really?
how much this car was together in the early '60s. A real Volkswagen versus the ones that were made in Mexico. Hmm. A night and day difference.
Wow!
And then drove it, and the beauty of it, and you know, it was just this the design of the mirror, just every little design thing. I've lost my mind. So then those cars. People always ask if I can't afford a Porsche. I would be in early to mid '60s Volkswagen Bugs
for sure.
I like that. I like Ferraris a lot. I would get into
328.
Huh?
328 life.
I'll get a 328 in 2 seconds. Lusos, I love. 250 short wheelbases, things like that. I love the new cars. Like
you see my homie brought that 275 last weekend to Bill's, yellow car, alloy
makes
bodied
me crazy.
Car. That's a fucking hot
I had
piece
a Dino
right
for 12 years. I would get another one of those.
They've settled. The hype has died a little bit Dinos. They've come
they
back
go like
come
this.
Back down a little
they're
bit.
They're always like that.
Yeah.
They're always
Pete Brotman brought this fucking hot little orange number to Audrain, and it was very,
he
very
had that
nice.
In my hangar. That's a really
That's a
nice,
nice
car.
Yeah, man.
I like that car.
I had a lot of fun
in
with
fact,
Pete.
In fact, I said, when you sell that car, Pete.
I had a lot of fun with him in Newport.
Yeah.
He's a good person to go to a car show
Philly
with.
Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
William F. Kraft, Spike, how are things going with Blue Chew?
When
is the hardest episode of SCR coming?
What?
I don't know what that. I think it's a troll.
Trolling.
Do you read Blue Chew ads?
You know, Blue Chew is a chewable
Viagra. Basically.
Yeah.
Did they send you any?
Well, they advertised on the show once, and Zuckerman said, "Can I somehow crush this up and eat it through my hole in my penis?" What if my penis hole had teeth or parrot beak? Maybe I could chew it and eat it that way. And then he talked about what he would have sex with. We lost the account right away.
No, it's
right
away.
And then for a year, that really made us laugh. Like, we're not even sure how the pharmaceutical... Well, I don't like pharmaceutical companies. But the Blue Chew became a running joke. And then eventually Blue Chew said they were getting so much free press. We want back in. And they are currently now, I think they're
That's
on next
awesome.
Week's show.
That's awesome.
But they sent two pages of do nots.
Of course.
And said, show this to Zuckerman.
It's hilarious.
And we were going to read them, but that'll get us.
No, you'll get booted again.
And they did. They don't send it to you, but they have these.
They give you a code.
You know. Guys, if you ever go to buy lingerie for your girlfriend or wife, and you go in there, you're a little nervous, and then then there's the sexy girl, and she's like, and they totally know how to talk to you, and you're like, this is kind of fun, actually. The same thing going on at Blue Chew. You have to do this video consultation, and this suddenly this pretty girl is just out. She goes, hi.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wow. I'm a doctor. How are you? I go, I'm a podcast. Oh, I love your voice.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
So you want Blue Chew? Okay.
That's
and
so
you
funny.
Go, oh, this is great. I don't need Blue Chew, but I now want Blue Chew. Send me Blue Chew. Can we do this every week?
Yeah.
Can I take some now and then call you back in
That's
a little bit?
So funny.
Yeah. They've got a whole racket going on over there.
I just finished reading Tom Vitale's book, In the Weeds, which is, he was the director of Parts Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a book about, you know, traveling the world with Anthony Bourdain, for better or worse, right? And, you know, and one of the funniest chapters in the book is where they explain basically what standards and practices is at CNN and the kind of notes that they would get back from.
Yeah.
And they literally have the email that's like, you know, Eliminate reference to pig anus.
Exactly.
Eliminate, you can't say goddamn fucking assholes.
Yes.
You know, it's like, and on and on and on.
I can't even laugh at that. I deal with that stuff all the time.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, what if we say, we'll eliminate fucking, but leave assholes, and the description of shit here is actually scientific, because we're talking about manure. It's not a car. It's like, it's pretty stuff.
It's not funny to me.
It's funny when you're reading about someone else.
Yeah, I know. But those departments are really hard. The best strategy when you're dealing with that is you hire your own guy, a clearance guy, and you have them do the work for you and cite the precedent. But it's expensive on a show, but you get that, you have a defense from it. If not, you are at the mercy of that stuff. And
good
it's
idea.
Rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Hunter Sands, will we see the emergence of an industry focused on modernizing old cars to, quote, new stock without going the full-blown singer in an effort to bring back vintage driving feel with modern technology and internal combustion? I mean, I think we have things like the Porsche and Mercedes and Jaguar Classic Centers, which are designed to restore these cars to actual stock. And there's any number of shops that'll build you hot rod versions of older cars. I mean, I think what we see is
talking about restomods.
Restomodding,
right?
Yeah. But we also are going to see as our everyday cars turn more and more into eggs.
Yeah.
Ultra low volume manufacturer act stuff. Glickenhaus.
Yeah.
You know, Glickenhaus. When I went to Connecticut last month, I talked to my friend Nat, who is the Glickenhaus sales rep. They've sold 50 boots. They've sold 50 of those SCG003. Race cars.
Really?
Yeah. So wow. There's people who think that even the supercars are too mainstream and too production.
Right.
And they want to be different and they want to drive something weird.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's safe and reliable, you know, they don't want to go too far into the weeds. Everyone doesn't want an Ariel Atom. Everyone doesn't want to build their own kit car. But people are still looking to be different, and as the mainstream manufacturers build, you know, as Ferrari moves to hybrid, Lamborghini moves to hybrid, you know, people are going to still want to be different from that. And so I think we're going to see a bunch of that.
Totally agree.
There's three dozen places to get a hot rod Porsche.
Yeah.
Everybody
wants to be unique right now.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be unique.
And I think we're gonna see, you know, EV converted classics.
Yeah.
And some of them are great.
That's weird to me.
Some are great. Some are. I don't need a 911 classic
right.
EV.
Yeah.
But a microbus, a Cadillac Eldorado. Would I want a 59 Caddy EV? Fuck
yeah,
I would.
Neil
badass.
Young has one of those.
His is a Lincoln.
This is a Lincoln.
Yeah, the Lincoln. Yeah.
It's weird, though. I don't know.
That
kind of
cool.
Hurts my brain a little bit.
I don't
like the old things turned into electric.
I like it when they're done really well.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe.
Alejandro Suarez, what
Uh-oh.
Got you guys into cars?
Wow. What gets you into cars? There's lots of ways to answer that question. One simple one is to get away from my parents. The car was a way to get out of my house and get with my friends and go in the woods and smoke weed and hang out. That was what the car represented to me. Early on, though, it was,
Were you an enthusiast before you could drive?
Yeah. But I wouldn't say I was an enthusiast. I was just obsessed with motorized things. Mm. I would go down to Betancourt Honda in my hometown in West Bridgewater and just stare at the motorcycles, especially the little ones. They had Suzukis too, and go, that little one, I could probably ride that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to get one of those. You know, and cars, we only had one car dealer there, but anything that was not an American car was of huge interest to me.
Hmm.
But that was it. But it was not, you know, some of these kids hot rodded Novas and stuff. Like one of my friends had a hot rodded Nova that was high in the back. I didn't know what the hell it was. I just knew. And there was a speed shop
yeah.
that we walked by every day to school. and you'd see that, and it had all of the wheels and all the other things. And I'm like, what goes on in there? Like, it was
bad
just
things go on in there.
And then, yeah, you know, and I asked my mom about it, and she goes, oh no, she goes, you've been obsessed with cars since you were a baby. She goes, look at this. And she had this diary entry from when I was 2 years old. It just said, obsessed with cars. And yeah. I said, wow, I did not know.
Yeah.
So I think that thing is kind of born in all of us. Yeah. Right?
My grandma used to say that I could identify cars by their wheels.
Yeah. Because
it was all I could see when I was like two or three.
You have it. Like my son right now is taking flying lessons. He's 13. So he's learning how to fly. He's been obsessed with planes since he was two. You look at our little family photo album and he's dressed like a pilot.
Yeah.
From two. At age 3, at Halloween 4, and then it drops off and then comes back at 12 and 13, and I've got to he goes, I have to fly. You have to get me lessons, right? It's just a thing.
Is he doing well at it?
He loves it. Yeah, I hate it. I don't want to think of my kid up in the air. And, you know, I put a lot of obstacles in his way. GPA's got to be here, behavior in the house has to be here. And boy, he just sat straight up and did all of it, and I have no choice right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
My grandma said the thing about the wheels, but I could probably trace it back to like my first car magazine, you know, and when I was like 5, you know, looking at these pictures of exotic sports cars
I like cars and sea monkeys. Those were my two obsessions.
I liked trains before I liked cars. I was obsessed with trains as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could see the remnants of my train set on the wall over there. I have a Martini trolley. That looks like the Mr. Rogers trolley, but has Martini billboards on it.
I could easily go down a train wormhole right now at my age.
Yeah.
I would just go to the basement.
I have all this track, dude. I have all this track, and if I had room, I wanted to do the one that went around the ceiling.
Do you know what? We talk about this all the time. Why do we all like that little train world? Because we think life is better there.
You ever seen
this is
some
a better
really...
life. I can get can into it, I would be there. Happy.
Yeah.
Right.
You ever see those videos on YouTube, of course, of people that have the extremely elaborate setups, and they mount a fucking GoPro on the front of the train? Just that's so zen watching that shit go around.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Nate says, what are the top three watches in your collection right now?
Oh boy. He's buying something.
Well,
right now.
It's followed up with a question. Is it worth buying a Grand Seiko GMT Quartz, or should I save for my Grail watch a Batman Jubilee?
Which is a Rolex. That's a great watch. But what was the other one he just had up there? The Tudor Black Bay.
He's got a Tudor.
Oh, he has a Tudor Black Bay.
I'm thinking about I have a Rolex Explorer 2 and a Tudor Black Bay that I rotate through.
Right.
I was thinking about buying a Grand Seiko GMT Quartz.
Okay, there's underneath this question is a collecting question
that
someone told me about. I forget this fella's name, but, you know, collecting three or four things, cars and or watches, and then selling those things to get something above.
Consolidating that, upwards.
Consolidating, taking the money, and for this example, buying the Jubilee Batman is a great idea.
Yeah.
Because you're getting something that probably will stand the test of time collectively and price-wise more so than definitely a Tudor Black Bay, which I love those, but there are lots of them, and the other watch. You know, this is a juicy watch that, you know, it's your Grail watch. You want it, it's eminently wearable. It's an amazing watch, and even if it goes down in price, you're going to love it because it's your Grail. Even if it's worth half. You're going to love it because now it's easier to wear.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of that. Rather than having a bunch of also ran stuff, sell all of it, take the money, and buy something you really want, and reach up.
Sure.
It's always a good strategy, at least investment wise, from a collecting standpoint.
It's good with cars too. I mean, it works with cars. And I've had a couple of expansions and contractions of the watch collection and the car collection. I you know, when I first started buying watches, I got a whole bunch of stuff. Half of it I didn't wear, sold it, consolidated upward on a couple of really choice pieces.
Yeah.
And then I started buying some other stuff, and I'm about to do another consolidation upward in another a couple months. And I think it's a good, if you can find one great piece that you wear all the time that's really clutch, it's worth consolidating upward. I found it's more satisfying to have fewer really nice things than it is to have a dozen things where maybe you wear three or four of them and the rest just kind of sit in the box.
And you end up with your dream thing.
Yeah.
When you have your dream thing, it's a really nice moment.
Yeah.
It's a really nice moment for you.
Yeah.
Right?
My top three that I'm wearing right now are that cool custom Seiko that with the pearl, with the mother of pearl dial that I love, the Pepsi GMT Rolex, and the AP, probably, the Royal Oak.
I'm wearing this guy.
Is that a Crown & Caliber loaner?
Crown & Caliber Kermit with a C.
That's the new one.
One of the hardest nicknames to track down.
That's the Starbucks. That's the Starbucks.
The Kermit with a C, Cerachrome. Lots of people say it's a lot of different things.
Oh, they haven't really settled on one yet, have they?
No, they have.
Is Kermit with a C or Starbucks?
It's both. It depends who you ask. There's a raging battle going on my Instagram page about what you call it.
It's a good one. I like
it's
this
nice,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
I like the white gold blue bezel.
The blue one you had the other day was
juicy but expensive.
Super fire. Yeah,
right.
Really
that's
expensive.
$50,000 if you want to jump in on that guy.
Yeah, but very expensive.
And I'm wearing these days. I've been wearing Crown & Caliber watches, but I've been wearing a Hodinkee Swatch a lot because I'm playing a lot of tennis. So I'm wearing only crappy things. I don't mind getting sweaty. And a Timex, one of those Timex Qs.
Oh,
I'm wearing
yeah.
a ton of that. And then some of the Rolexes.
Yeah, I mean, you and I alternate between
that's
baller and then cheap.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great watch up there, too. This is, I'm a huge
Tudor Chrono.
I like this one.
I'm looking at a vintage Speedy.
Nice.
I haven't bought any old watches, but I'm looking at a vintage Speedy.
Go up to that white gold blue one. This watch, I don't think I took off for a month.
The blue with the black dial.
Yeah, it'll be
is
close.
Very
it'll
good.
Be close to the top. Oh, I forgot I had that. The Unimatic watch. That's a great
Oh, the
watch.
Unimatic was a cool one. Yeah, the Modulo GMT or whatever.
Oh, maybe I don't have a picture.
You didn't
of
take
it.
No pictures, man. You don't take no pictures of the blue one.
Yeah, it was right
it was
before
dope,
this.
Though.
Oh wait, it is there. Okay, wait, go down.
It's
in one of these sailor pictures of all of us. Forget it.
Whatever. It's blue. It's blue with a black
dial.
Got
the blue
it's
bezel.
Very cool. Sheep Lady. Ship Lady. Why do people shit on 912s and Beetles but love the 356? From a powertrain perspective, they all seem to be pretty similar, but what is it about the 356 that makes it so much more desirable than the others?
It's a Porsche. One.
But a 912 is a Porsche.
That feels like a neutered 911.
Yeah.
If I were being judgmental, I love 912s and I love Volkswagens, but that's the vibe. It's like, why get a 912 when you get a 911?
Yeah.
Why do you want something that's just as big but with less power?
Yeah.
Right? That's all.
I've driven a bunch of 911s, and I drove a 912, and I was like, well, this is worse.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And it
Whereas
kind of
there are no six-cylinder 356s. If there were, we'd feel the same way.
Yeah, yeah. And they feel sometimes when you get into late 60s, like 356s, but they don't handle as well as the 356. The 356, there's a purity to it, and they're beautiful, and lots of different price points you can jump in. They're great. Mm-hmm.
Dan Mosqueda, Spike and Matt, imagine you are attending a black tie event. You can only choose a car that you own. What do you drive and why?
Go ahead. You decide.
I mean, I feel like the triple black Ferrari is a good black tie event.
But am I handing it off to the valet? I don't want to do that.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's the problem. Let's assume there's no valet.
It's got to be the van. Delica.
Let's assume there's no valet.
Assume you can park up front.
Yeah. Assume you can park it yourself. Oh, it has to be Countach.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'd win.
Yeah. I would take a new 911 for sure. I would take this new GT3 Touring I'm building.
Matt says, other than with tennis equipment, have you any issues with your Tesla?
What he's saying is I left the top, the hatch open after I left the tennis court the other day, and the contents of the Tesla flew into sunset, and then I watched another Tesla run over them.
Oh, no, that sucks.
Thank you for getting me to tell that story here on this bigger podcast so I can be embarrassed.
That's
no.
Funny.
Well, yeah, there are a couple little things like, you know, fit and finish I don't get too concerned with. And there is... there is something that I wanted them to fix that is messed up in it right now. Oh, yeah, the horn only works when you press the top part of the horn button. Well, sometimes when you turn the wheel, horn doesn't work.
So nice.
They're going to look at that.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah. I love it, so I don't mind the problems with it. All it's right. like a problem child.
Oh, this is Riley's long thing is from last week. We asked about like million-mile vehicles and if yeah. the turbo. We were asking about will these turbocharged engines last as long as like the old V8s and stuff, like if you're going to
yeah.
if you're gonna have a million-mile car.
Wow. Specifically and, with the Tundra.
And specifically because the new Tundra has a turbo engine instead of the V8.
Right.
And so we said, well, on semi-trucks, they're turbo diesels that regularly go a million miles. Is the turbo considered a wear item? At a, you know, at a half million miles, the turbo aware item. So Riley says, and this is a little long, I own semi-trucks. The turbos are not on manufacturer-specified maintenance intervals. They should be because a turbo failure can destroy the entire engine in extreme circumstances. Reliability depends on the design of the turbo. Regular turbos and asymmetrical turbos are very stout, but variable geometry turbos are complicated with many points of failure and clog up with soot. Turbos don't usually fail until over 700,000 miles, and some will last over a million. The manufacturing of them can be inconsistent. There are many Chinese counterfeits floating around. And okay, so I think, yes, the last question of that part of that is obvious. It adds more parts and complexity. Okay, so not really a maintenance item. Turbos should last the life of the engine. 700,000 miles, be prepared to replace fucking anything at that range. Anything else, Zach?
That's
was that it.
All right.
That's our show, ladies
That's the
and
show.
Gentlemen.
Thanks for coming down.
This has been fun.
Ferriston of,
Dodger games.
Of Spikes Car Radio.
Yes.
You want a Dodger game?
No, I'm going to watch it.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to go anywhere. I came here. This is my thing for the week. I came here.
Oh, perfect. Leaving yes. the house. I just found out that the manufacturer of our elevator here at WCCS does all the elevators at the Staples Center. Oh. So they have season tickets to everything. And so they offered me, I got tickets to Lakers-Knicks in February. Hopefully that'll
yeah.
Hopefully things will be sorted.
That's good.
By then, and we can go
floor
to
seats is a box. What is it?
They said Zach wants they in. Said it was they were very good seats. I don't know where they
COVID
were.
COVID concerned.
COVID concerned. They said it's not a skybox. That would be dope. But
you can't see anything in this.
I'm going to Seattle to hang out with Tom Segura and the wife this weekend. Next week we will have multiple shows. I forget who's coming in. I don't. It's not important now, but we'll figure it out when it comes.
Chris Forsberg.
Oh, Chris Forsberg.
And their team, his old driving team's coming.
Formula Drift
next
driver.
Week. Yep.
Great.
Wow.
Awesome. And then, if you guys are going to be anyone out there is going to be at SEMA, Zach and I are going to be broadcasting all week from the Valvoline booth at SEMA behind 8-foot-tall plexiglass.
What does that mean?
What does what mean?
You're going to be broadcasting all week. You're going to do two shows, or you're going to do a show every day?
One show a day for 4 days, Tuesday through Friday.
And post it.
And I don't know if we're posting them in real time.
No, we're not.
We're just recording them there.
You're just recording
them. We'll broadcast them live to Patreon as usual, and then we'll post them in the coming in the
weeks. Yeah. But we've got some guests, some industry people that'll be at SEMA coming on the show and going to set up a studio in the Valvoline booth.
That's fun.
It will be all right. I wish I could say I was excited about going to Vegas. I'm a little nervous about going to Vegas.
Ooh, let's go to Lotus if I am.
My masks will be
SEMA
doubled
is very
and
safe. Everybody gets vaccinated at SEMA. Everybody wears a mask.
I know.
We're
that
wear
crowd
old,
is very responsible.
Old deep sea diver
I'm
outfits.
I'm going to wear a fucking gas mask. And I've asked Valvoline.
You should send the other Matt Ferrer to that one, Matt, if you want to live.
I've asked Valvoline to provide us very tall Lexan borders.
You just stick with Richard Rollins. He's one of the safest guys I know. He'll be there. Don't you worry about it. Drink what he drinks.
Miller Lite.
It's all good.
You'll be fine. For everybody.
You're fit.
Read that Argo thing. I think it's really interesting, and we definitely want to have Brian Selesky from Argo on to talk about
what
their safety. You want me to staple that for you before you get out of here?
Nope.
All right, that's our show. See you guys later. Bye.